My grandmother Tut was a saint. Southern Baptists, as I was growing up, don't have saints, but she was one. She was kind, she was sweet, she was gracious. She always had a good word to say about everyone, with one memorable exception. My family was gathered around aunts, uncles, cousins, grandparents, and we were doing what families do. We were talking about the family members who weren't there. And the conversation rolled around to one second cousin once removed, who was a bit of a scalawag. He had done this and he had done that, and we were talking about the things he had done. And my grandmother Tut, this kind, gracious, gentle, sweet soul who always had a good word to say about everyone, said from her chair in the corner of the room, "I think the world might have been a better place if he had been drowned at birth." And our family was shocked. There was my saintly grandmother speaking ill of this scalawag second cousin once removed. Now, I don't think she really meant he should have been drowned at birth, but I do remember my family's shock at her comments. So here's a question. What do you do when you realize your saint is not always so saintly? How does it feel when you learn your hero has flaws? Or conversely, what is it like to learn that your villain may be a hero? How does it feel to discover that the person you think is worthless may be a saint? Now, I think actually Alec has a copy of my sermon. Thank you. Because our copier and my laptop are not working this morning. But what do you do when you realize your saint is not a saint? What do you do when you realize your villain may be a hero? For several weeks, my sermons have been focused on Moses and the Exodus story, and you may know the broad sweep of the story. Moses was born into a Jewish family who were slaves in Egypt. When he was born, his mother gave him up to escape slavery. That's a tragic part of the Exodus story that's worth considering on Mother's Day, I think. A parent whose expectations of life are so bleak, her only choice is to give up her child. Mother's Day can be a sad day if we think about it fully. Moses was given up as a baby. He was then adopted by the king's family, if you know the story, adopted into Pharaoh's family and grew up in the palace. At a point in his life, Moses, this adopted prince, saw an Egyptian from his adopted family beating a slave, beating one of the Jewish slaves of his birth family. And Moses, in a fit of anger, killed the man who was beating the slave. Moses was a murderer. He fled Egypt. He knew he was in trouble, so he ran away. Not only was Moses a murderer, but he was a fugitive. He ends up in the land of Midian. He marries a Midianite and goes to work tending sheep for his father-in-law. And that's where Moses is when God showed up and said, "Moses, I want you to go back to Egypt and free your people." Moses was a murderer, a fugitive, a criminal on the run, perhaps even an immigrant without appropriate documentation. And God said, "You're the kind of person I really like. I want you, criminal Moses, to free your people." Moses goes back to Egypt. He tussles with the Pharaoh a little bit, and in time, Moses leads his people out of Egypt through the water, across the desert, toward their promised land. Moses, this great liberator, this legendary leader of his people, was also a criminal. He killed a man, a and fled the country to escape punishment, took up occupancy in another place, and in time becomes one of humanity's great faith heroes. So here's a question for you. Are we open to that kind of change in the people around us? Are we willing for our sinners to become saints? Are we willing for our criminals to become heroes? Do we live with enough possibility for that to happen? The Department of Justice tells us that there are 2,220,000 adults in prison and jails in this country. That's almost 1 out of 100 people. The photograph on our bulletin cover is of a mother and daughter. That picture was taken on Mother's Day in 2014. The mother was in jail at the time, and the teenage daughter was able to visit her on Mother's Day. You may have seen the story on the front page of the Washington Post this morning about women who give birth and raise their infants in prison. What is Mother's Day like for the 2 million prisoners in this country? What is Mother's Day like for the parents of the 2 million prisoners in this country? As we ponder those questions, I will also ponder at how on earth that printer printed maybe only every half page of my sermon. Which is nothing compared to having your child in prison. Let's just be honest, right? We laugh because our problems are easy. In addition to the incarcerated 2 million people, there are 4,751,000 adults on probation. Do we believe they can change? Do we live with hope for those neighbors, those fellow citizens? Do we believe in rehabilitation? Our policies mostly seem to say no. 3 strikes and you're out. Mandatory minimum sentences. Criminal records that follow former inmates so they can't get a job, they can't vote, they can't fully reintegrate into society. Do we at all believe the Moses story for our day and age? Do we believe in God's ability to take a murderer, a fugitive, an immigrant without documentation, and turn her into a faithful hero? Let me get you to consider this question in another way. Let's pretend for a moment, just pretend, that there is a politician you don't like. This is only pretend. Let's say you think that politician's very election was suspect. Let's say you think that politician is personally a nasty individual. Let's say you think that politician is corrupt. Let's say you think that politician should be impeached, maybe even go to jail. Now remember, this is all pretend. But let's say that through a fluke of history, or some chain of events, or maybe just a personal change of heart on the part of this politician, or maybe even through the providence and grace of God, this pretend person you dislike, let's say that person does something really, really amazingly good. Maybe frees prisoners or prevents a war or brings about some really good programs. Let's say this politician whom you revile has the possibility to be a hero. Are we so trapped in our partisan views that we can't even imagine that? Are we so trapped in our personal likes and dislikes that we cannot conceive of that? Are we so trapped in our prejudices that we couldn't allow that politician whom we dislike to succeed? Do we paint people into corners with concrete? Do we label people so quickly and so permanently that there's no hope for change or for redemption? Do we bind people with our own judgment so that we simply cannot see the good in each other? You see, prisons come in all shapes and sizes. One of the reminders of Mother's Day is that everybody, every child, every politician, and every prisoner has a mother. Every one of us was once somebody's baby. Every one of us is a child of God. Are we willing to allow each other to live into our God-gifted createdness? Let me put this in theological terms. Are we brave enough to live with hope? The hope that people can change. Are we courageous enough to believe in redemption? The belief that all people have value. Are we kind enough to believe in grace? To see the best in each other? In all others. My friend, Reverend Washington, as I said this morning, is a prison chaplain in Nashville, which means that her work is about hope and redemption and grace. She's also a musician, so it's very fitting that she will lead us in singing Amazing Grace. Reverend Washington, let me invite you to make your way to the piano to lead us in singing that hymn, and let me invite you all to turn in your hymnals to number 547. Before we sing, I want to read a poem. It's by John O'Donohue in his beautiful book, To Bless the Space Between Us. The poem is entitled, For the Parents of One Who Has Committed a Crime. For the parents of one who has committed a crime. As we think about Moses, the murderer and fugitive and undocumented alien becoming the hero and liberator of our faith, as we think about Mother's Day, as we think about everybody being the child of a mother, as we think about everyone being a child of God, as we think about the grace needed to believe in redemption, I invite you to hear these words. For the parents of one who has committed a child, for the parents of one who has committed a crime. No one else can see the beauty in his darkened life now. His image is closed like a shadow. When people look at him, he has become the mirror of the damage he has done. But he is yours. And you have different eyes that hold his yesterdays in pictures no one else remembers. Waiting for him to be born, not knowing who he would be. The moments of his childhood, first steps, first words, smiles and cries, and all the big thresholds of his journey since. He is yours in a way no words could ever tell. And you can see through the stranger this deed has made of him and still find the countenance of your son. Despite all the disappointment and shame, may you find in your belonging with him a kind place where your spirit will find rest. May new words come alive between you to build small bridges of understanding. May that serenity lead you beyond guilt and blame to find that bright field of the heart where he can come to feel your love until it heals whatever darkness drove him and he can see what it is he has done and seek forgiveness and bring healing. May this dark door open a path that brightens constantly with new promise.